Hello and welcome to First Baptist Church. Today's speaker is student minister John Beach.
Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God, we come before you thankful for your love. Lord, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we've sung many songs about the cross, songs that are beautiful about something so ugly. And yet, Lord, in our Christian walk, what a sight to behold. So Lord, we thank you for the cross. Lord, I pray as we go through this evening or this afternoon, this day, that you would help us to remember it's because of the cross that we have been redeemed to you. And Lord, now as we go through this worship time, I pray, Lord, you would hide me behind the cross, that the words that are spoken are your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. When Pastor Jeff asked me to speak for him today or speak in his stead, I tried to struggle about, as always, what do I speak on? And of course, the idea is to go with the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit saying? Well, I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit started about 4 years ago in this one. This was a concept or an idea that came about 4 years ago, and probably it's showing up today because we're just in a culture, I think, where relationships are a struggle. Relationships are fractured, whether that be friendships, marriages, churches. We see it all the time. There's fracture and there's struggle. Recently, our youth group, we did a series called One Another, and we talked about how there are 58 spots in the New Testament where the words one another are given to us. And so the idea is this: we are to one another, and it looks like this: love one another, honor one another, encourage one another, those kind of thoughts. And so we've been talking about relationships, and so as I prepared for this, this was just on my heart. The title of the sermon today is called Fix Your 50. And this title actually came about 4 years ago when there was an individual, his name is Mr. Garrison, was in charge of the Department of Juvenile Justice at the time, and we were there on a regular basis doing discipleship and music and some other things. And I'd asked him to come to speak for the football team that I was chaplain for, and he came, and as we were finishing up that conversation, we were just talking about relationships. Now, I always get questions about relationships from parents. You know, is this how the teenagers act? What do I expect? And so there's always a conversation going here or there with teenagers, with parents, and what should it look like in our relationships, and how do we fix that? And so Mr. Garrison and I were talking, and he was saying, listen, the bottom line is, and he gave me this term, he said, people just have to fix their 50. And I said, help me understand what you just said. And so it was this idea that relationships consist of two equal parts. Each person comes to that relationship with their part. Now, in each part, there's 100% giving in that part of your relationship. So in your, heavy math here, in your 50, there's 100%. And when everything works well, there's this 100% of our giving in that relationship that helps us as we move forward. Now, the reality is this, is that I can give 100% in a relationship, and it doesn't guarantee success in that relationship. And I think that's where we struggle sometimes. People say, well, you don't understand, I'm giving all I got. And the relationship hasn't changed. And listen, there are multiple types of relationships. There are relationships where you've got the two halves, and one half acknowledges, hey, there's work that needs to be done here. So they fix it, and now that comes back to this solid, good position. There are other places where that half doesn't understand or doesn't know or doesn't care, and they don't work on it, and so that part drifts and still the relationship fails. Another potential is this, is that as the relationship gets going, the one that doesn't work hard on it, the other side begins now to give more than 100%, 110%. They're trying hard to fix the other person's 50. It usually doesn't work out well either. And then the last one's this, is when that one half stops working, eventually the other half walks away and says, I'm going to stop too. So the idea is, as we move into this, is to think about fixing our 50. It's an important concept. So, what does Scripture say? Well, we'll get there in a minute. But let me ask you, before we get there, what relationships do you have going on right now? And what's the health of it? How does it look? Part of the struggle I find in relationships, we live in a culture now where we have so many relationships. It's almost like this. As we begin to encounter other folks, we begin to negotiate in our brain, is this a relationship I'm really going to pour into? Because I have so many. I have work relationships, I have home relationships, I have relationships at church. And it's just hard, isn't it? It's hard to hold up your end of the relationship constantly. And so that's part of our struggle as we begin to look at the relationships that we have. And we begin to wonder, am I giving what I need to give? It may mean that I've just got so many relationships and I'm just giving parts here and there, here and there. I'm not giving a full. But let's look at Scripture. As you think about those relationships you have going on today, what does that look like for you? Scripture's Romans 12, 9 through 18. And here's where Paul is as he's writing to the church in Rome, as the Holy Spirit is carrying him along, and he has talked to these folks about what the redemption looks like through Christ. And he begins to talk about how God, prior to 12, that salvation's for everyone, even the Gentiles. That was a struggle for the Jews. They didn't get it, they didn't understand it. But he says, listen, this is salvation that belongs to everybody. And so he begins to talk about what relationships should look like. This is a passage I've used in marriage before in weddings, and so you've heard it, you're familiar with it, but it's Romans 12, 9 through 18, and here we go. Love must be sincere. Stop. There's a lot of writings about what love looks like. We throw love around all the time, don't we? We love everything. I love chocolate. I love my mom. I love my dog. I love that car. Love's just one of those words we toss around with no weight a lot of times when we talk about it. And so here Paul says, listen, love must be sincere. Well, what does that look like? Well, he did us a favor in 1 Corinthians 13, which is another wedding passage, that explains exactly what that looks like. And by the time you get to the end of 1 Corinthians 13, it is this passage that is very sacrificial. It talks about how love doesn't demand our own way. It doesn't rejoice in things that go wrong for the other person. And so Paul paints this amazing picture of what love looks like. So it says in Romans 12, 9, love must be sincere. What does sincere love look like in your relationships right now? How does that happen? How's that expressed? It's easy to say you love somebody. It's a lot harder to show them. It's a lot harder. Continuing, it says, hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. In other words, all those things that might be sidetracks for folks, all those things that cause folks to stumble, we should hate that and we should cling to what is good. It harkens back to 1 Corinthians 13. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, and share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. So Paul in this passage has begun to talk about that we should be devoted to one another, honor one another. These are activities that we have to do for other people. We just can't sit back. I know sometimes I've been guilty in the past of relationships that I've had that just to call each other friends seems to be good enough, and you don't communicate, you don't show up, you don't do anything for those folks. And then I've been surprised that we've drifted apart. Has that happened to you? You're surprised because there's not that effort poured into that relationship. And Paul says, listen, we're supposed to be devoted to one another in love and honor one another above ourselves. That's a hard one. We tend to like ourselves a whole lot. We want to do things good for us. In fact, a lot of times in relationships, I would reckon that some of us will develop relationships based on what it does for us. How will it benefit me? What do I get from it? Is this a good fit for me? But we're to honor one another above ourselves. And then verse 11 says that we should not be lacking in zeal. This is that spiritual part of this passage. We should constantly have this spiritual fervor serving the Lord as we are in the relationship. Anybody know somebody like that? Somebody that encourages you regularly, especially in the things of the Lord, how God has a plan for you, how He has designed things for you specifically. I'll be praying for you. I know of one young man, he told me his testimony at one point was, when I became a Christian, and he became a Christian late in his life, he said, I became a Christian and I told my mom, and she said, oh Lord, hang on just a second, I've got to call Miss So-and-so. And he said, why? She said, you don't understand. She's been praying for you for 35 years that the Lord would come into your life. That's spiritual fervor. That is being sincere in love, and that's serving the Lord in your relationship. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Here's more spiritual movement. We're offering hope and joy. We're being patient in those times when we've been wronged or in struggle. And then we're faithful in prayer. I wonder how many of us pray for our relationships regularly. I know it becomes easy to pray when there's a struggle. We all do that, right? We pray when there's a struggle or a problem, but what about just on a regular basis? I'm just lifting up so-and-so. I'm going to pray for them. There may not even be anything going on for them in their lives right now that's a struggle. I'm just going to pray for them because I love them. Because I care for them. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. That's a good friend. 14 and following says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Let me stop there for a minute. I heard a story once. It was a teacher trying to explain to us about the power of story, and so that's the context with which this story was told. But he began to tell a story about a young lady that was supposed to be home at a certain time. Her mom let her go down the street and play with her friend, and so she ran down the street, played with her friend, and at the end of that time, when she was supposed to be home, the little girl didn't show up. And so she kind of began to look for her daughter out the window, and she still didn't show up, and after about 10 minutes, she got worried, and she began to go out and kind of look down the street for her, and finally she saw her coming to the house, running to her mom, and the mother said, honey, you were supposed to be home at 5. What happened? And she said, Mommy, my friend had a favorite doll that she had, and we were playing, and she dropped it, and she broke it. And the mom said, oh, sweetie, I'm so sorry. So you stayed and you helped her fix it. And she says, no, Mom, I stayed and helped her cry. Sometimes it's important in our relationships, mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who rejoice. Sometimes we can't fix anything in anybody else's life. That's a truth, and in fact, it's a reality. You can't fix anybody. That's the struggle we have in relationships. A lot of our relationships start when we want to change it, we begin to say, well, if only they'd, we've missed the point. We can't change anybody, only ourselves. It's up to the Holy Spirit and that person to change them. But there are times in our lives where we can reach out to them and we can rejoice with them, we can mourn with them, we can be part of their lives and see what's going on. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited, and do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. So Paul continues to say, listen, these negative things about relationships, don't get involved in that. Don't get tied up in that, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Listen, the reality is you can't please everyone. But there's a clear right and a clear wrong when we enter into relationships often. Sometimes it may be gray, but there's a clear space often that we can take. And so Paul encourages us to be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. And then verse 18, this is where we're walking through. One of the things that we begin, and we'll read that here in a minute, but the problem is, Paul says, listen, some of these things are going to happen. Your 50% may be fine. But he says, listen, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So Paul's given us all these things that we ought to do, and this underscoring at the very backside, if it's possible at all. Now, he implies that it might not be. But if it's possible at all, we should do everything we can to live at peace with one another. Man, that's hard. If it's possible. I have to constantly ask myself then in relationships, am I doing what's right? I think sometimes that when we avoid fixing our 50, we might be unaware that we've even got a problem with it. You ever notice that on your car or on a computer or some sort of thing like that? Something's not right, but it works, right? It gets you from point A to B if it's a car. You get the processing done if it's a computer. And the only real way to kind of know what's going on there is to run some sort of diagnostic. So you take it to somebody that understands that, and you say, hey, what's going on here? Well, they can determine, hey, your car's messed up because it does this, or your computer's not doing that because of certain things missing. And they can let you know so that you can fix it. And I think sometimes in our relationships, I know I've been guilty of this before, is that it reminds me of a student I knew one time who blew his car up. Like, not a bomb, but he was driving, and pretty soon it doesn't drive anymore. And so he got to the mechanic, and the mechanic said, didn't you hear it making all that noise and sounds? And he said, well, I kind of noticed it, but I just turned up the radio, and it kind of went away. And so I wonder how often in our lives we're just turning up the radio when something is a clear indication there's a wrong in our relationship. We distract ourselves. We find so many different ways to distract ourselves in that relationship, so we're just turning up the radio so that we don't have to deal with it. And so we need to diagnose what's going on. Where's your 50 right now in the relationships that you have in your life? They may be friendships. They may be work relationships. They may be your family. What's going on in those relationships? And what does that look like for you? Have you had the radio up a long time and just kind of ignoring sounds it's making that say, hey, something needs to be fixed? Or are we really digging in and paying attention to those relationships? It's important. I want to talk to you about a second relationship. Friendships, family, those are important. The other one that needs fixing is this: our relationship with God. God has done theologically, now there'll be a little pushback maybe here, but God has done everything he is going to do to fix our relationship. In fact, he's gone 110%. He's gone above and beyond to fix our relationship. In fact, Scripture tells us, as we look at Romans again, Romans 10, 9 and 10 say, or actually, I'm sorry, first, Romans 5, 8 says that God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The whole theology of the cross is this, is that we don't deserve God's love and the repentance we get, the rescue we get from Christ. And yet, he gives it. He's gone above and beyond in his half of the relationship. The interesting thing is, he kind of left it where we have to fix our part of it too. We have to reach out to him. He's done everything he's going to do. Christ came, he died on the cross, he settled it once and for all. Redemption is there. It's up to us. We have to fix that 50 on our behalf. And so, Scripture tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that says, if we declare with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess and your faith and are saved. Romans 10, 13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God set it up for us. How's your relationship? Listen, for some of us in our relationship with God, it may mean that we've kind of moved away. It reminds me of that story of a young, or they're not young, they were an older couple, and when they were first going together and dating and all that, they used to sit right together. This was back when it was a bench seat instead of bucket seats. They would sit right next together, and she would be like up under his arm as he's driving. And as time went by, there was this gap, this distance. And pretty soon, he's on one side driving. She's all the way to the door on the other side. And she said, "Honey, remember when we were dating and we loved each other so deeply and we were just inseparable and we're together and we're not like that anymore?" And he looked at her and said, "Who moved?" You know, I think our relationship's like that a lot of times with God. We may be all the way on the door here. We're still in the car. We've still got a relationship with God, but do we need to fix that part of it? Do we need to draw closer to Him? Do we need to spend more time in prayer, in Bible study, just communing with Him, in worship? It's necessary. We don't just get to claim that we're God's child and then act like we don't belong to Him at all. We have to fix that. Or maybe you don't know God right now. I mean, you've heard of Him. But maybe you don't have that relationship. Maybe you've never heard that God fixed the half that we have that's wrong. And all He's asking, He's fixed the whole problem. And all He's asking is that we come to Him. That we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that He is Lord. I'm going to do a big ask here in just a second as we begin to sing "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go." And so what I want us to think about very quickly, that person that you think, "Man, I've got an issue, I've got a relationship that needs to be fixed," I want you to consider, hey, maybe, just maybe, I could do something about that today. And so as we come to our time of decision, Ricky, I want to do something different. Can the choir just sing this song, this last song? So I want you guys to stand, and I want you to be in prayer. So if you would, stand with me, and I want you to be in prayer right now. This is the big ask. I know it's big, it's uncomfortable, it's weird, but this is why I'm asking you to stand and pray and not sing so you don't have to look up and look around. But if there's a relationship in this building right now that you need to heal, I would encourage you to let the Holy Spirit work in you and move to that person as we sing and just pray with them. It may be a matter of just saying, "Listen, I don't know what's going on with us. I've missed you. I want to be back in your life. I want to do life together with you. Can we just pray?" Or maybe you're just committing that there's somebody outside this building that you need to begin to pray with or pray about and fix that relationship. Or the big one is this. Maybe you just need to rededicate your life to Christ or make a decision to follow Christ. If you would now pray as we sing, as the choir sings this song, and whatever you feel like you need to do, if you need to come forward and confess Christ as your Savior, I'll be down here. Maybe you just need to be obedient and join the church, or there's some other decision you need to make. I pray that you make it now. Let's pray.